This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. My co-host Dave Rothenberg.
He's farting.
It was one tiny little fart. Our amazing producers, how about the very handsome father-to-be, RJ Santillo?
We're cursing left and right like sailors.
I like sailors. How about the very single? Loves him some mall steak, Raymond Santiago.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Okay, and I'm working with Pirates now. And of course, as always, we're rolling with the company. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
If I want to make it say Da Raz, I'll make it say Da Raz.
I stand by it. It's the worst autograph of all time. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. You know the number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
And your guy there, Peanut Butter Mike or Purple Belt Mike, whatever his name is.
Wow, that seems very disrespectful. We got an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Oh, boy! Oh, boy!
Oh, my guy's excited. Your Mets blow another three-run lead. That's back-to-back losses to the Braves. They've now lost 10 of their last 12 games to Atlanta. The Braves have said to the Mets...
You can't get us.
No, you cannot get us. Yankees White Sox postponed. They'll play a straight doubleheader starting this afternoon at 4:05. Denver takes game three down to Miami. Nikola Jokic, Dave's Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. He led the way for the Nuggets with the first ever NBA Finals 30-20-10 game. He finished up with 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Denver regains home court advantage. They lead the series 2-1. Dave and I will attack for everyone. For all of you Giants and Jets fans, we will attack Bill Barnwell at 9:30. We have two more qualifiers for the All-American Ford Custom Bronco. We got stuff you missed at 9:15. And as always, on the Thursday at 7:45, we have an observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I want to go back and try to fully understand how Dave was able to land the very sexy, especially when she wears those boots, the love of his life, the one and only Sherry. What do you think the first thing that attracted her was, Dave?
Oh, I got pythons.
Yeah, but that's physical. That's just first glance. What else?
I got the D. I got the P.
Well, I bet you do. Anything to spice it up, maybe?
I might stuff some bacon right down your pants.
Wow, kinky. What happened when you suggested something like that? Oh, my goodness, easy. And now, after all this, how do you feel?
We'll always love you.
Oh, it's beautiful. Here he is, the luckiest man in the entire world, the one and only, very sexy, very handsome Dave Rothenberg.
Well, thank you for that. I got to tell you, one thing about that open was factually incorrect.
What was that?
You said we have two chances to win the All-American Ford today.
I thought we have two chances today. I thought we had
three.
We have three
chances to win the All-American Ford today.
Oh my God! Listen, two's a lot. I didn't expect three today.
Three. Oh. And tomorrow, as we say bye bye to the big contest, three additional chances.
Oh.
To win
Goodness.
The Ford as well.
You better That's be paying right. attention today because everyone remember, always, the last question of the day is the listener retention.
And you don't know at what point during the show you're going to get this listener retention.
Yeah, so, I mean, you don't want a chance to miss out. First of all, Beach Bash, awesome. VIP, you're going to have a great time. We'll have a blast. And then the chance to win this Ford Bronco from All-American Ford, you'd be crazy not to want this thing.
I mean, I could say something right now. I could say something right now that holds the test of time and comes back at 9:40 today.
You never know. That's why you have to listen all 4 hours. You have
say
to.
Something crazy right now. Go say something crazy.
Well, I thought the open was a little bit crazy. I mean, I got a little risque with the open.
Nah, it's fine. I think it was risque. That was nice.
Well, I only sit when I pee at home.
We know that.
Which
that could be it.
You read the article. Proven smart to sit when you pee.
That's right. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, get it all out.
Yeah, because when you stand up, it doesn't all come out?
I guess not.
And what is that about?
No splashing. I don't have to worry about splashing. I don't have to worry about getting something on my shoe.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Works out well for you. I don't want to hear you defend this team today.
I can't.
I don't want to hear you defend this team, and there's 99 games left, and there's plenty of time left, and da-da-da-da-da-da. I am so angry. You have this, I'm sure. When one of your team, you love your teams, right? We all love our teams. When you hate the teams you love, that's where I am right now with the Mets. I hate this team.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is back-to-back games, and Scherzer was, early on in that game, he was filthy.
Five innings of filth.
Filth. Like, I mean, 7 Ks through 3, 9 through 4. Curveball was just disgusting. Yeah, I mean, you did what you were, I'm sure you set out to do, right? You made Charlie Morton throw 30 pitches in the first inning. He had the Beatty broken bat blooper that scores McNeil. You realize that was only the 14th first inning run we've scored this entire season?
So they've played, what, 62 games? They have 14 first inning runs?
14 first inning
runs.
Really
remarkable.
You get the lead, and then all of a sudden it's infield singles that end up killing you. And Ottavino, I think enough is enough with pitching in back-to-back days. If you look at the numbers, he can't do it. He cannot pitch back-to-back days.
Well, they don't have enough bullpen.
No, I know, but he can't do it. I mean, you look at his numbers. 7 times he's done it. He's pitched 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 home runs. Can't do it. We can't.
I mean, yeah, you have a 4-1 lead. You have either your best or second best pitcher on the mound. It's a second straight night of a 4-1 lead into the 6th inning. You gag it away again. Your bullpen implodes. You have man on first, nobody out in the 8th inning. And the disaster that is Daniel Vogelbach steps in. And you know he's not going to get an extra base hit.
No.
Maybe he'll walk. Maybe he'll bloop in a single, double play. You know what watching him is? It hit me like a punch to the face last night. Watching him, playing him continuously, knowing how bad he is an insult to the Mets fan, is what it is.
Well, he right now is the human shield to the Mets in their struggles. Because everyone is so focused on how bad he stinks and no one wants him in the lineup, that's what most of the phone calls today will take about, is they're sick of Daniel Vogelbach. I think everyone is sick of Daniel Vogelbach, outside of Buck, apparently. Who keeps playing him?
Why? How?
I don't know. I mean, you keep asking me these questions. And on top of that, we got Alonso gets hit in the wrist and leaves the game, which is, I mean, almost impossible to get him out of a game. So the first thought is, okay, he broke his wrist. He's done. And then Pham slides into Lindor's leg. I was like, oh, God. We lose these two. The season is completely over. And then the catch, Acuna's catch. I mean, that's the play of the game.
It's the play of the game, but you know what? It shouldn't come to that. You should have a 4-1 lead with your best pitcher on the mound, and you should, in theory, be able to hold on to that lead.
Right, but again, I mean, you could see him wearing down, which is not something, I mean, that you necessarily want to see, right? Like, I mean, you're paying the guy $43 million because he's supposed to be the guy, right? He's supposed to be the stopper. He's the one that, you know, finds a way to battle through maybe a little fatigue, knowing that your bullpen you can't trust, so you're trying to get through the sixth or whatever it is. But, I mean, he gets 2 outs in the fourth, 3 infield singles, they score a run there. Then he gets the first 2 guys out in the fifth, the 2-run home run. Then in the sixth, he gets the first 2 guys out, double, single, 2 runs. And then Ottavino comes in, and Harris is having an awful season.
A terrible season.
An awful season.
And he had a home run, which I don't know that it landed as of yet.
But the Acuna catch, though, man, I mean, that's bases loaded, 1 out. Acuna makes an unbelievable catch on Pham, only 1 run scores. I mean, that should be a play. He jumps up, hits the wall, maybe clears the bases. Atlanta's a better team. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Atlanta's better. I get that. I'm not arguing with that. I knew it coming into the series. But to have back-to-back days where you actually score runs. And by the way, they're hitting home runs. How about that? I think they had, what, 4 home runs on Sunday, right? 2 home runs on Tuesday, 2 home runs on Wednesday?
Yeah, Alvarez and Pham, yeah.
They have 8 home runs over the last 3 games, and they're 0-3 in those 3 games?
That's right.
And that's a pretty embarrassing statistic. But, Rick, here's the thing, and we talk about it all the time, right? It's early. They're fine. They won't catch Atlanta, but wild card. Rick, look at it now. You're really falling behind Miami, and I don't think Miami's great by any stretch, but you're considerably falling behind them. Philadelphia is right there with you, right?
Pittsburgh. Well, that's part of the problem, though, too. That's part of the problem, is that Philly's got off to an awful start, too.
And so is San Diego.
Well, that's the thing, though. And because you also have not got off to a good start, you leave them. I mean, you let them hang around now. Now they become a factor. Like, it's one thing just the Braves are better, you're not going to win the division. But if you're playing better baseball, and you start looking at the wild card, you know, maybe you're not going to have to worry about the Phillies or San Diego. But because you stunk too, all those teams are right there. Yeah, it's a problem, man.
It's a travesty.
There's nothing else to say. Like, I mean, the bullpen is not great, right? I mean, you've actually finally had the chance where you're playing with the lead the last couple nights, and you haven't been able to lock it down.
I don't even know what else to say at this point. I'm so despondent. I'm so annoyed. It's funny. My kids are saying, you know, they're going to the sixth inning. Well, the difference between Tuesday and Wednesday, Dad, is now we have Scherzer on the mound, and hopefully they can hold this lead. And
well, again, he was awesome.
And again, they couldn't. And again, they couldn't.
They couldn't.
I mean, do you trust this bullpen? I mean, how do you spend $350 million and have a bullpen that you look at and you think is, at best, mediocre?
I mean, you're asking me questions that I don't really have the answers to.
Well, you know, I don't mean you for
you. You know what I mean?
Like
not having a guy that you're paying $20 million to hurts. I mean, the best closer in baseball would help just because, I mean, it's going to lengthen your bullpen a little bit.
Of course, absolutely.
Ottavino cannot pitch on back-to-back days. I think that's, I mean, it's clear now that he can't do it. But
even if Diaz was there, right? Diaz would be clearly your best reliever. And then Robertson would be your second best reliever. And then Raley would be up there. But then you'd still would be very reliant on Adam Ottavino.
Yeah, you'd be reliant on him. But, I mean, maybe you realize what's happening here and that his stuff isn't nearly as good in back-to-back days, so you won't have to use it. You can stay away from that. But when you have, I mean, they got three guys. They got Raley, Ottavino, and they got Robertson, who's been great.
And that's it. I mean, we're talking about big spots. You're putting Dominic Leone in, who pitched up good. A couple weeks ago.
Oh, who pitched good last night.
But he did, but the point is you picked him up. How did you set up this team that has so many flaws spending so much money?
Well, because I think the thought was that the starting pitching was going to be really good.
Well, you know what? And again last night, Chris Bassitt.
Yeah, dude, you're preaching to the choir with that one, man.
I mean, you ran the risk. You knew last year.
Well, here's the thing, though. You knew, and that's the problem. You knew what you had. Like, you had him in your clubhouse, and he was really good for you. I know the end of the season didn't end the way you wanted it to end, but, I mean, he did everything you asked him to do. You had him, so you know what kind of guy he is because he's been in the clubhouse. He's pitched here. You're not worrying about how many days rest, or is he going to, you know, he wasn't pitching once a week. All the things that you're worrying about with Senga, but you decided to go for the upside, and now you got to hope that Verlander shows up tonight and just pitches lights out.
Otherwise, you get
try
swept
to salvage
again.
A game here.
Otherwise, you get swept again in Atlanta.
Ugh.
And it's getting late early now. That's the truth. 1-800-919-3776. So
you
obviously,
okay? You okay?
Well, yeah, I had a tickle in my throat. Okay. You know, there is a terrible weather system going on right now.
I see that. Yeah, some crazy pitches out there yesterday. Wow,
it's very troublesome.
Yeah, we had everything canceled yesterday. Milo's stuff got canceled. My baseball game got canceled.
Well,
shut it all down.
It's terrible outside. So I guess this AQI is what it runs under, and it's the air quality index.
Yeah.
And anything over 150 becomes very unsettling. It was well over 200 all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, I got a text from my buddy yesterday who runs our baseball team. You met him, Brian. And he said to me, game canceled. I was like, what do you mean it's canceled? He said that...
Were you not outside when he sent you the text and said it was
canceled?
Well,
I didn't think that... Like, the kid stuff I could understand, but as adult baseball, I just figured we'd battle through it, right? He said that being outside... His text to me was, being outside for 3 hours was the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes, that they said.
That's right.
That's great.
So why would you do that to yourself?
Well, we didn't. Cancel.
Well, I understand, but you wanted to battle through.
Carlos Rodon was throwing... I mean, he's battling through it.
Why?
I don't
what
know.
What are they doing? First of all, they have a full under the stadium kind of setup.
Yeah, but he wanted to be outside on the mound. Really get a feel.
Really get a taste of the smoke.
Taste of it.
So why did the Yankees wait till after 4 o'clock yesterday to call that game?
I have no idea.
I mean, didn't you know they were going to call the game? We were in our group text yesterday, like 1 o'clock. We were saying they need to call this game.
Yeah, it was unsafe. I don't understand why. I mean, that's Major League Baseball. That's
right. That's
I mean,
not
I
even
the
Yankees
to pull the
specific.
Trigger on it.
Correct.
Yeah, it was funny because Kay was mentioning it's like it was like Caddyshack. I'd keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come for quite some time.
Yeah, very, very strange. But the Yankees did the right thing. They did not play. They'll play two starting at 4 o'clock today at the stadium. This portion of this show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford Group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I look forward to Bill Barnwell this morning at 9:30 because I like him. And I think he's very good, but he has a couple of these articles and statements and beliefs out there, which I think are a little crazy, especially the one on the Jets. If you didn't see this, we'll get into it a little bit later, even before Bill joins us. He has the Jets. You say, where are the Jets going to fall in? First, no. All right, you know, that's reasonable. Second, no. All right, you know what? I guess Miami could, in theory, be better than the Jets. So third, no. Bill Barnwell, highly respected NFL insider, has the Jets in last place in this division.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8 corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8 SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So remember I was talking about this AQI, the Air Quality Index? They say like, anything over 300, it really don't even leave your home.
Yep.
So RJ sent me he sent it over to me, but it was a tweet from the great Lee Goldberg yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you know how high the AQI got in New York City?
Really high.
392.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You could not go outside.
You shouldn't have known without a mask.
No, very, very dangerous.
Lee.
You know what else is dangerous? Is watching the Mets.
It's not dangerous. It's disappointing.
It's dangerous to your health. No, it's disgusting.
The problem is I get myself so amped up to watch it.
I'm not doing it anymore.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to deal with the consequences.
So you're going to do it every... See, it's like Groundhog Day for you. You're gonna do this. You're going to have this expectation that it's going to change today and be different today. The same thing's going to happen again, and you're going to do it again the next day.
Yeah, I have no choice, man. What am I going to do? I love this team.
I love
baseball.
But so maybe have some realistic expectations that they're just not good.
Yeah, but my expectations going into the season were that they weren't going to win the division. So, I mean, if we're sitting here and you didn't think that this team had a chance to make the playoffs, then maybe we have this talk. But I still think they should have enough to be a playoff team.
That's not floundering in your mind at all?
Well, no, right now they're floundering.
But this team should have enough to be a playoff team is still sitting there in a really good spot? Like, really fully believe that?
No. I don't think they're sitting in a really good spot. I don't think anyone would tell you that they're in a really good spot. But I still think they're going to be a playoff team. And I'm going to hold out hope that at some point this turns where guys actually play up to their expectations. And we can start to piece this thing together where it's not... You know, one day it's good starting pitching, but we can't hit, or it's the bullpen lets us down. And they
right, it's never a complete game, right?
Right?
It's never they hit well, they defend well, they pitch well, and the bullpen's good. It's never from top to bottom everything is right.
No, there's always something that causes a problem. And yesterday, I mean, again, I know we talk about this all the time, and this is what frustrates me a lot about we start playing win-loss games and looking at schedules and everything else. Or you ask me, you know, how many Jets wins, or I ask you how many Giants wins, or whatever we end up doing with predictions and everything else. Like, it's not that simple. I mean, it's a lot of the time it's how it looks, what happens. There's got to be context to the win or to the loss. And these last two losses, man,
have been
tough.
I mean, honestly, Tuesday night, and I told you this yesterday, if they would have fallen behind 4-2, score a run, Atlanta scores a run, and they lose 5-3, you know what? I could deal with that. Carrasco on the mound, I don't think he's a great pitcher. I could deal with that, knowing that I have Scherzer and Verlander following that up. But to have a 4-1 lead in the sixth, gone. 4-1 lead again last night, gone. Scherzer on the mound, falls apart. And I know that first little run was not really his fault, right, those infield hits. But again, you know, it's the same song and dance. We sit here and we make excuses for this team. And then the bullpen, and then Vogelback. I mean, it's the same thing every single night.
You know what it is, too? And this is, again, I think I've heard every coach I've ever had, I think, talk about how you make your own luck, right? Like, a lot of coaches don't believe in luck. It's like you work. It's when, you know, hard work and opportunity meet. That's what luck is. But some of the stuff that's happened to this Mets team, man, they go back to the fourth inning where Lindor makes an unbelievable play, right? Ozuna hits that ball. He makes an unbelievable diving play to make sure the run doesn't score. And you're like, Okay, we still got a chance to get out of this thing. And then you got that Arcia, the garbage infield slow roller third that scores a run. It's like, come on, man. Like, the guy just made an unbelievable play. Let's get out of this thing.
And it's
the disgusting infield hit that scores a run.
Yeah, you're right about that. And then watching the game last night, and Alonso gets hit in the first inning, and all of a sudden, all the excitement I have for the game, right out the window. Until you find out that it's not a break, it's a contusion. But, I mean, you got to be kidding me with these injuries.
Well, you saw his face, too. I mean, that Pete's a guy who never won. I mean, they went through how many games he's missed during his career. He plays, I mean, pretty much every single night. And then they start feeling around on his wrist, and you could see his expression. I was like, oh, no.
Well, I mean, 97-mile-an-hour fastball to the wrist.
Like, luckily, it hit some of the guard. Thank God.
Thank God is right. Because at that moment, that was bigger than the game.
Like,
if you were going to lose him for an extended period of time, I mean, you could almost put a bow on the season.
Yeah, it was night-night. He's gone for it. I mean, if that's a broken bone in his wrist, forget it.
Forget it is right. Here's Pete Alonso. How you feeling after getting hit on the wrist?
A little frustrated. Wish I was able to play, you know. But, yeah, that's just the nature of the game sometimes. And it's unfortunate. But, yeah, it's just tough being hurt.
I was so nervous. So nervous. Because that's a broken bone. He's out, got what, 6 to 8 weeks? And realistically, the season is done.
Yeah, season's done. I mean, 6 to 8 weeks, that's his bottom hand, too. Yeah, we're in one. And then I told you, Fam slides into Lindor's quad. And I was like, oh, here we go.
He tried to tackle him.
Well, no, he tried to do the right thing because he did look like Lindor was going to catch the ball. So he didn't want to run directly into him, so he would kind of slide by him. But he ends up making full contact with Lindor's quad. But, yeah, things just aren't going right. We haven't found a way to just put this thing together on a consistent basis. It's always something. Five infield singles yesterday. Like, the Braves need any help from infield singles. I mean, with two outs, too. I mean, fourth inning, two outs. Fifth inning, two outs. Sixth inning, two outs.
Yeah, just consistently. Little dribbling hits that somehow, you know, find their way fair consistently. More Alonso, even though it was scary, he's optimistic after those initial scans.
It's a mix of both, you know. I mean, that's super promising that the x-rays are negative. And, I mean, we're going to get additional imaging with we're going to get a little bone scan tomorrow just to double check. But, I mean, it's super encouraging. But then also at the same time, just want to see how the swelling plays, you know. Hopefully it goes down and sooner rather than later and get right back on the horse.
Now, I will say this.
We're not out of the woods yet either, by the way, just so you know.
What, you think that it could be something still serious?
Yeah, like, so I had my face I had my face x-rayed in Pittsburgh when I got punched in it.
And they didn't find a break right away?
No, they were like, yeah, it doesn't look that bad. Then I went and got, like, real tests done, and they're like, nope, you're going to need surgery. Your face is caved in.
But how did they not know that right away?
Well, because sometimes the machines, you're talking about an x-ray as opposed to, like, a CT scan. Like, you'll go for a CT scan, which is a better quality test. So we're not definitively out of the woods.
But we can see the pasture, right?
It was best case scenario for the test last night,
right? And if you watched him in the dugout as the game progressed, he didn't. I mean, he was smiling. He was walking around. He didn't seem like he was in agony.
No, he was not in agony.
Not that that's the defining factor, but it didn't feel like he was not miserable. He was not, you know, sullen. He could have been on painkillers. Who knows? I thought about this from the flip side. When the Braves fans applauded him getting hit, And I saw a lot of Mets fans on Twitter were so bothered. I think if that was reversed, I don't know that I would applaud that. I don't think I'd be bothered by that. What bothered me was when he had to leave the game and they were clapping and applauding. That really bothered me because I don't think I would go that far. At what point, if at all, were you bothered by the way Atlanta reacted to that?
All of it. I don't like any of that stuff. And I get why. I mean, he got picked up on a hot mic. Yelling yesterday, 2 days ago at the pitcher, throw it again. But like, I mean, that's tame for what you usually hear from a bench or like most benches in any sport. Some of the stuff that's being said, that's tame. Throw it again. You should hear some of the stuff that gets said on those benches.
Oh God, I'm sure.
I mean, wild stuff. But no, you never want to listen. I mean, the guy, lucky you hit him in the wrist, not the face. Like, I mean, and then he leaves the game. There's no, you don't cheer for someone to be hurt. That's
right.
Gross.
See, getting hit, again, you and I are different, right? I grew up as the fan, you grew up as the athlete. Getting hit and someone applauding that, I don't love it. I wouldn't do it, but I kind of see that. When he has to leave the game because he's injured to the point that he can't continue and you're applauding that, I really feel like you've kind of crossed that line.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We'll hear from our 9:30 guest via taped audio, and that, of course, is Bill Barnwell. I don't love his take when it comes to the Giants. I think he's off base. When it comes to the Jets, I actually think he's a little bit crazy, and we'll hear what he says about the Jets in just a couple of moments. We'll get to the Yankees calls, 1-800-919-3776. Of course, the game postponed from yesterday to today. They'll play two. Single admission doubleheader, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Yankee Stadium, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to the company, RJ Ray. So you guys were talking about Aaron Judge and the possibility of him missing, you know, a little bit longer. I get that feeling. You know how the Yankees have been over the last couple of years with injuries and stuff like that? When they're not outright of saying, oh, he'll be fine, he'll be back, or anything like that, it always ends up being a long injury. But how the Yankees will fare with him, without him, let's say, like you said, 4 to 6 weeks possibly, I think they'd be fine in the sense of they would still probably, right now, what, they're 10 games over 500? They would hover around... They'd hover around 500 for that stretch without Judge, but that's not even the biggest issue. They're going to still probably make a wild card. They're going to be in the playoffs, but the problem that it's clearly this year and the last 6-7 years is they do not have enough bats and enough consistent bats to make something happen in the playoffs. The left field spot is wide open, and I want you, if you could answer me, who do you think is a possibility to go out and get? The two names that I look at, Jock Peterson and maybe Kyle Schwarber, if the Phillies are dying. Because I know his batting average is terrible, but he
always... Doesn't he have a long-term
like
deal, Kyle Schwarber? And he's also, call him, he's a terrible left fielder. And he's hitting, I think, 160 right now.
But he looked phenomenal in the playoffs, and I think he's the type of guy that will strive in a big moment. I think he ups his game if he goes to a Yankees team kind of situation.
Yeah, but they signed him to a long-term deal in Philly.
Yeah, I'd be very leery of that, too.
Well, he's still got 2 more years left on his deal. He signed a 4-year deal for almost 80.
Right, so now you're going to add another $20 million for a guy that's hitting 160 right now? And I like him, too. He's also a butcher in left field.
Yeah, the guy they were trying to get was Brian Reynolds. He would have been the guy to get.
Well, that's not going to happen now. They've locked him up to a long-term deal, and Pittsburgh's actually pretty good.
I understand that, but that's, I mean, Brian Cashman told you we have a need for a left fielder, and they never really addressed it. They tried to get Reynolds, but it was going to cost them too much, so they didn't do it. And now they got a bunch of guys that they trot out there.
That's right. That's a different flavor every single day.
Yeah, Cullum's not wrong, though. I mean, it's... Again, depending on how long they lose out on Judge, you don't seem to believe that they have any chance of catching Tampa, but they're probably without Judge a mediocre 500 team.
Okay. I think that's fair. So, I mean, realistically, do you think they're going to catch Tampa? They're eight
Do I realistically think that they're going to catch Tampa? No, probably not. But, I mean, again, going back to what's happening in that clubhouse, I'm giving you the perspective from the clubhouse, which is We haven't been whole yet. Tampa's off to this great start. We got off to an amazing start last year. There's plenty of stuff that can happen. Let's just make sure we can keep them in
within distance.
Within distance that when we do get healthy, we'll go on our run and give ourselves a legitimate chance.
Yeah, I get that. It's not a crazy notion. It's just like, odds are you're not going to catch them. But you need to.
But you don't want to be resigned to that, though. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't, you may kind of think it or it may look that way. But as a player, you don't want to be resigned to the fact that we're playing for a wild card. We want to have the opportunity to at least maybe get to the division title.
But with the Mets, I can be resigned to the fact they're not catching Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Because they're just not as good as Atlanta.
Well, here's the other problem with the Mets, too. It's not even just this season. It's how last season ended.
Atlanta owns you.
Right. It's the end of last season now, which has been a continuation of what's happened in this season through 62.
Remember the whole notion of Tampa early on in the season and not playing great teams, and they're home consistently. Tampa is 26-13 against teams that are above 500.
Yeah, our bigger problem is that we haven't taken advantage. You could say that about Atlanta, but we haven't taken care of our business against teams that aren't very good.
Like, the Mets stink.
Like, we had that 13-game stretch that we figured we'd do, or you hope that we would actually start to figure it out, and we went 4-9 in those 13 games.
The truth is the Mets just have not shown to me that they're a very good baseball team, and it's not a small sample size anymore. It's 62 games. They're 30-32. They've lost to Cincinnati. They've lost to Detroit. They've lost to Colorado. They've lost to Washington. They can't beat Atlanta. I mean, you name it. They've done it, and that's why they sit here. And really, if you look at the National League right now, I mean, Atlanta's head and shoulders better. Miami, I know that you think you catch them probably at some point, but, I mean, they're playing good baseball. Philly's a half game behind you, and Philly's been horrendous. Pittsburgh is ahead of you. Cincinnati is a game behind you, and they've brought their young guys up, and they're playing good baseball, right? Is St. Louis going to be this awful all year long? Dodgers are better than you, and they're way ahead of you. Arizona is way ahead of you. The Giants are ahead of you, and this is the one that terrifies me. See, the two that terrify me are Philly, who has played dreadful baseball. They're half a game behind you, and the Padres are about a game and a half behind you, and they might be the most talented team in all of baseball.
Right, and that's the problem with the fact that, I mean, again, I didn't think that they would win the division, but I also didn't think they would be this bad. And by being this bad, you've kept those teams that got off to really bad starts right in the mix.
Right in the mix. If the Mets, even if they weren't going to win the division, if the Mets were eight games over right now, you'd look at San Diego and say, they might be more talented. We have a six-game lead over them. That's a big number. But now, they've been awful, you've been awful, and they're probably a better team than you are.
And you only have a game lead on them.
Yeah, no good. And Philly, who's been brutal, is half a game behind you.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. It needs to change, and it needs to change soon. All right, 1-800-919-3776. So, Bill Barnwell, and I look forward to this, is going to join us this morning at 9:30. And he has said some really wild stuff recently. He was on Get Up yesterday, and he was analyzing the AFC East. And here's Bill Barnwell yesterday from Get Up about the Jets and where they'll finish this year in their division.
I'm going Bills, number one, the Dolphins, two. I would go Patriots, three. And I would put the Jets.
What?
Even with Aaron Rodgers in last place. I don't see why this is a crazy opinion. They were in last place last year. It's not like this is that insane of a thought. And I'll point this out as well. They were 7-10 last year. When they had to play the opposing team's starting quarterback, or their primary quarterback, I should say, they were 2-8. When they were playing the backups, when they were playing Trubisky, when they were playing the third stringers, they were 5-2. This is not a team that was as close to winning a Super Bowl as I think they have put out there. Now, they'll be better with Aaron Rodgers, but I think they're just not as good of a team as we're sort of suggesting.
Wow, that is wild to me. Absolutely wild.
Why, let me ask you a question, though. Why are we pretending like he brings up the numbers and what they did against starting quarterbacks or primary quarterbacks and then the backup quarterbacks?
Right.
We played the entire season with backup quarterbacks.
That's right.
Like, our quarterbacks are our backup quarterbacks.
Right. You played 17 games with the backup quarterback.
Yeah,
and he's
right.
Like, well, I know Rodgers is better. Well, do you? Like in your analysis, you sit here and you say that the Jets aren't that much better. Now, Super Bowl conversation, you don't want to get into that. I think that's very fair, and I understand that. But to say that the Jets are last place in the AFC East, couple things. A, I think that is a crazy take. A crazy take. And B, if that happens, you will. There will be a lot of guys on the unemployment line with this organization.
Yeah, coach is gone for sure. if that happens.
A GM, I think, would probably be gone too.
See, that's the problem with that list. And you heard the hesitation. And I saw him. I actually saw him live doing it. Or not live, but I saw it on television. And he's got the suit and he's got the J's on.
He looks very nice.
Yeah, right. But he's not. Bill Barnwell's not a suit and J's guy. So now what he's turned himself into is the hot take guy, is what he's done. Is I bring a list where it's Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots. Okay. Yeah. I'm all right with that. I don't think it's going to happen that way, but I could see that if Tua stays healthy for all 17, how good that offense is. Right? Yeah, Jalen Ramsey to the back end. That could be how it finishes.
Listen, someone says Buffalo better. You might disagree. You can't attack them for it. Someone says Miami better. If Tua stays healthy, I mean, their secondary is elite. They're well coached. They've added even more speed than what they had. I don't know that I agree, but I don't think it's crazy. To say the Jets are the last place in this division, to me, is a wild statement.
It's a wild statement, but that's why we're talking about it. Because if he puts the Jets third, yeah, you'll look at it and go, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But you put the Jets fourth behind New England, who I get last year with, you know, Patricia and Joe Judge was a disaster. They're going back and forth with quarterbacks. But, I mean, you're still talking about a team that has Mac Jones, who rookie season was good, last year not good, and now there's some concern whether or not the team is happy with him. The team now, not the coaches. The team wants him or Bailey Zappe as the quarterback, and you're going to put them ahead of the Jets, who just got Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know how.
With one of the better defenses in the league? Oh, by the way, just so I got a whole page of notes.
Oh, yeah, we also have a break that we have to get to, but go ahead.
No, just to really let people understand how bad the quarterback position was last year for the Jets. So I saw a list yesterday where they ranked the worst potential backups. They ranked backups in the NFL in this upcoming season. Okay? From best to worst backup. So there were 26 qualified backups they ranked. Okay? Where do you think Zach Wilson, who was our starter last year for most of the season, ranked?
19.
23 out of 23.
23.
Of the backups.
He's not
of
good.
Of the backups.
He's not. I've told you many times that it worries me that Zach Wilson's your backup quarterback.
Well, where was Mike White? Oh, Mike White was 21st. So your two quarterbacks with backups are ranked 21st and 23rd out of 26 backups.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you feel that Bill Barnwell has any idea what he's walking into at 9:30 this morning?
No. No, I don't think he does.
You're not going to be mean, are you?
No, I won't be mean. I have facts. I'm looking through some of my old Jets notes. It's the beauty of actually like taking notes on all the games. Just looking at my final, some of my final notes. Jets 6-game losing streak to end the season. They scored no touchdowns in their final 32 possessions.
It's amazing.
But Aaron Rodgers won't be a big upgrade.
He'd be a huge upgrade.
Come on, Bill.
You better. Could you imagine if he's right, though?
If he's right, yeah. I mean, this will all go away in a hurry. I'll be devastated. Coaches will be fired.
Joe Douglas might demand he comes back on the show and puts your face right in it.
That's fine. I'll accept that.
You know what? Here's what we should do. You should make a wager with Barnwell.
I don't think he's the way. Maybe.
Well, he's got the itchy trinker figure. He likes to gamble.
Maybe he gets attacked by the dog. You want to get him attacked by the dog?
You want to bring him into the mix?
Listen, I'm game. Someone will be attacked.
If he said to you, let's make a financial wager, you'd do whatever he wanted, no?
Well, what's the wager, though, that the Jets
don't finish last? Let's say the Jets finished last place. He says, if he's right, he wins $2,000. If you're right, you win $1,000. Would you make that bet?
No, why would I have to give him $2,000? He's the one that made the proclamation, not me.
Right, I understand that, but odds are the Jets are not going to finish in last place.
Well, not according to him.
He's probably very used to these, like, throwaway bets. Like, let's make a bet. I buy you lunch. I think he's from
He doesn't know how we roll.
I think he's from the D.C. area. So, I don't... Listen, a little. You fly me here, I'll do this. You're going to come in with, loser gets attacked by wild dogs.
Yes.
Might be cheaper to give him the $2,000 than take him to lunch.
Oh, no.
Oh, what? Wow.
What? Wow. He's got expensive taste.
You don't know what kind of taste he has.
What am I saying?
That was a shot at his size.
It was a shot, yeah.
Wow. See, and this is my concern. Ready. RJ, this is my concern. I want him to know exactly who's who when he calls into the show today. All right, RJ?
There's a there's a strong, and by strong I mean definitive chance, he has no idea what he's walking into because I haven't told him. So
good, good.
Now, when you have him, you at Bill, hey, RJ from DNR, so happy you're coming on. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Do you tell him you're walking into a labyrinth of anger?
Or do you just say,
all right, have a great interview?
Well, this is a good benchmark because I reached out a couple of times to Bill in the past when we had different hours and our show would be over at 8 a.m. Eastern. I know he's moving around a lot. And he was very nice. He always got back, but he said,
is he moving around a lot?
Stop it.
This is troubling.
See, again, he has no
Stop
clue.
It.
He's got no clue.
And he would say, listen, I'm not really available at 7 o'clock, da-da-da. This time, gets right back. Yeah, let's do it. So I think we're on the rise, and I think this is a good benchmark barometer moment for us. However, I think we could be sent right back because Rick could come on him.
Does he know that these two are unhappy with his proclamation?
I think one's more unhappy than the other, but yes.
I just disagree. I think Rick is out for blood.
Yeah. This might be the one and only time.
Well, it's so transparent what he's doing, though.
I don't believe what he said. I think he believes what he said.
Doesn't.
I think he's wrong. I think it's a stupid take, but I think he believes what he said. So you have so little belief in Bill Barnwell that you're of the mindset that he's out there saying things he doesn't believe are true solely for hot take purposes.
Yes.
That's a strong take. Will you say, I don't believe you believe what you're saying, you only said it to drum up attention?
Do you think that Dan Orlovsky, when he was asked to make his list of top five quarterbacks all time, felt good about leaving Joe Montana off the list?
Wait, do we do that here? Do we make lists for attention at ESPN?
What world are you living in?
I have a list.
Shocking.
I have a list.
Right on cue.
Well, but I think mine's a good list.
I do think, to put a ball on the Barnwell, listen, you want to say maybe they won't finish last, okay. I do think, because I've been following just his writing all offseason, I do believe that maybe you could talk him into third. He does not believe the Jets are a top two team in the AFC East.
Which I don't think is crazy.
No chance.
I don't think that's hot take-ish. I don't agree with it, but I don't think it's a crazy notion. To say the Jets are a last place team, in my mind, is nuts.
Yeah, but how could you, but RJ, to the point you just made, how after watching what happened with Tua last season, and now Mike White is your backup quarterback, would you have more confidence in Miami?
I think that's a great question for him.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Listen, I'm not in his camp. His big thing the whole way has been more on what you heard of that soundbite, that the Jets were a quarterback away from being average. That's his point. We take it as the Jets are a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. He takes it as last year they did not deserve to be where they were. They came across a tremendous amount of good luck with the quarterbacks they played, and that will regress to the mean.
Well, yeah, but he also said they would have been better off saving the money and signing Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, how could you say that?
I don't love that take, but
that's a terrible take. I can't wait for this. If you don't go over after him like a pit bull, I'm going to be so disappointed in you.
I'm going to go after him like a pit bull with the New York strip wrapped around his neck.
Have you listened to him over the last 5 minutes? He's ready to go. The T for Baird. It's coming.
He says it now until he stares across the battlefield and he sees a guy ready to bite back.
No, I'm not one of these. I'm not one of these guys that just sits on his horse, gets the troops all fired up, and then sits back. I'm like Braveheart.
He's William Wallace.
You're going to be right in front of everybody, taking the slings and arrows.
Oh, slings and arrows, jumping off that. I like John Wick.
All right. See, I see you as more like the Billy Zane character in Titanic.
No,
where you're like, is there room for me on that life raft?
Please, I have a child.
Yeah, this is my child, and I have cash as well.
Over under now until eternity, 0.5 over under Bill Barnwell on this show from now until forever.
Under.
Point five?
Over under, yeah.
If he joins us today, that's the over?
No. Does he ever?
After today.
Will you follow
idiot.
The question?
I got confused.
Go eat your cheat meal at Burger King with your 52 Whoppers.
Please, I have a child.
What's your cheat meal? Burger King. When's the last time you were there? 2004.
Can you ask the question again, please?
Will Barnwell ever be on again after today?
Does it have to be with these specific hosts?
No, will you stop with the question? Just answer it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he has no faith in me.
I like how he puts the qualifier. Does it have to be with these specific hosts?
Well, I don't
hosts?
Know. Rick could be off. Maybe we could have another host. Someone that, done radio at the station at some point, comes on, hops in.
You'll be part of this, too.
Yeah.
And you
but I'm not going to attack. I don't. You, but I don't have the same vitriol as
you.
Rick.
Keep trying to downplay it, but you're not happy with his proclamations about the Giants.
I think he's wrong, but with his Giants takes, I think he's going to be wrong, but I don't think it's wildly awful takes. With his Jets takes, I think they're terrible takes.
So here's the thing. Dave secretly, and he won't admit it, thinks that the Giants are going to take a step back and might not make the playoffs.
I've told you that.
He thought the Giants were going to win 4 games last year.
No,
he
I didn't
can't
think
be
four.
Overly offended.
Right. I didn't think 4, but I didn't think the Giants would be nearly as good as they were, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were an 8-win team this season.
Jets finished 4th in the AFC East. They're not making the playoffs.
Jets finish 4th in the AFC East, it's catastrophic. Giants go 8-9, it's hardly catastrophic.
What you say now, but I think you're singing a whole different tune.
Not
after
catastrophic. All right, let's go to some of these calls, shall we? Bill in Queens, good morning, Bill. You're on 98.70.
Good morning, thanks for taking my call. Just listening to this, I'm not a fan of Bill Barnwell, but you guys, I'll call you guys experts. You guys do this every day, you study sports, so do the other people on ESPN. The Jets were 7-10 last year. 6 of those games they lost by 1 touchdown. How can he sit here and say that they're not a good team? Like Aaron Rodgers doesn't make that difference in those 1 touchdown games? Like that's outlandish. And how does that like devalue what he's saying? Like, I mean, it's just a crazy take in my opinion.
We agree.
What's your thoughts?
I don't think what happened last year devalues. I think what happens this year will devalue. I mean, if the Jets are, 12-5 and finish in second or first place, now his opinion, his analysis is completely devalued. He can have his opinion now going into the season.
Yeah, but Dave, here's my biggest problem, though. He's not accounting for, he keeps bringing up the stats. Like, the big stat that pisses me off outside of the whole Teddy Bridgewater thing and everything else is their record against starting quarterbacks or primary quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks.
Right.
Did you look at the quarterbacks that we were playing with and the production we were getting from them?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Awful.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. They're absolutely terrible.
Like, you're afraid to have Zach Wilson as your backup this year. And he was one of your starters last year.
Listen, if you go through, and here's the thing that he would probably do. He looks at last year's schedule, right? Ravens game 1, they were better. They beat you fine. Should happen. Might happen again. That game 2 against Cleveland, remember how lucky you got to win that game?
Yes.
Onside kick, scored 2 touchdowns in like the final 90 seconds was miraculous.
Yeah, you didn't deserve to win that game. I'm not
right?
going to dispute
that. The game
in
Pittsburgh, you won. You probably could have lost. The game against Miami, that was the big tailgate, wonderful tailgate we had at MetLife Stadium. They had all sorts of injuries. Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to start that game.
Hold on. That we caused, that our defense caused. That wasn't they showed up to the game without, we knocked Teddy Bridgewater out of that game.
I get it. Listen, all I'm doing is bringing information to the table. I'm not, I disagree with him. Jet, you hammered the Packers. You went into Denver. You won that game. Russell Wilson was awful. I mean, are they better with Sean Payton than they were with last year? I think so, right?
Yeah, but that has no bearing on this season.
So all I'm saying is I'm walking through giving information. I agree with you. I would be stunned if the Jets were last place this year.
Did we
stunned.
Beat Buffalo with Josh Allen or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, you sure did.
Just checking. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that the strength of this team, because we've seen it, because we haven't seen the offense yet, and they may get off to a slow start. I mean, Teddy Bruschi was talking about that yesterday with the clip I sent you guys. I mean, how could the defense that was one of the better defenses in the league with that offense not be better now with an offense that could actually score you some points, actually possess the football, maybe give you a lead once in a while?
I think this is the line of questioning we have to have with Bill at 9:30 this morning. It may be his first and only ever appearance on the show. Actually, he's been on before, hasn't he, with us?
You understand that last year the Jets had 29 total touchdowns. 29.
So they averaged not 2 touchdowns a game.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers threw for 26. The Jets as a team had a total of 29. Aaron Rodgers threw for 26 in what was probably his worst season in a long time.
You better hope to God this man is wrong. Let's hear, you mentioned Teddy Bruschi. Let's hear Teddy Bruschi saying, no, he does not agree. Jets will not be last, might in fact be first.
I don't think they're going to be last. I think this defense is just too good. And what the biggest factor, we talk about canceling mini camps. The biggest factor is going to be getting Quinnen Williams signed. Saleh sounds good that he's going to be signed because September is going to be key for the New York Jets. Okay. Yep. If the New York Jets defense is solidified in the month of September, there will be growing pains. And I believe for the offense, okay, it's going to look clunky at first. If the Jets carry them through September to where they get their stride. I don't think they're going to be in fourth. They'll be in second or first. But Quinnen Williams is the key. To look at them last like that, that's just something I don't see. Aaron Rodgers is, it's amazing what the quarterback can do to both sides or all three sides of the ball. And I think the Jets will be very good this year.
I don't even want to have the Quinnen Williams conversation because in my mind, there is zero chance that he is not under a long-term extension by the time
they're
the
just
season
fight,
starts.
They're fighting over years right now. I read an article yesterday. He wants four. Jets want to sign into five. Here's the beauty of canceling the mandatory little minicamp, though. You don't have to worry about it because we don't have to talk about him being fine for not being there.
Yeah, but that's awful. If I was a Jets fan, I would be very upset by that.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're in a position now, like with all the expectations, new quarterback, new install for the offense, that we should be taking mini camps off.
You have an opportunity to get more practice in. And guys, go ahead. You know what this feels like, right?
I know exactly what it feels like.
You feel the same way as me, right?
Yeah.
Then Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't want to do that.
I've been here for everything. We probably don't need this. We'll be fine. Okay, no problem. I mean, has Robert Saleh earned the right to start taking mandatory mini camps off?
No. And the amount of pressure and expectation on this team this year is absolutely through the roof.
Through the roof. Not to mention you have a brand new offense.
Right. Which some guys know, but most guys, this is going to be brand new for them.
Your most important receiver doesn't know it.
No.
I mean, I'm looking through you said this the other day, and you're spot on. And I was watching some video of him. He looks amazing. Like he always looks good, but he looks like physically looks like he's in the best shape of his life. Carl Lawson's going to be better this season.
Yeah, he's got to be. Year two off of a torn Achilles?
Yeah, he's going to be better. You got Franklin Myers, Jermaine Johnson. I mean, you had Chuck Clark at safety. Your secondary was Sauce and DJ Reed is already one of the better secondaries in football. This team playing with the lead? Actually not going into a game feeling like they have zero margin for error because their team's not going to score any, their offense isn't going to score any touchdowns? Or they're going to be right back on the field because your offense just went 3-and-out again?
No, that's not going to be the case. And again, I go into it, and you never know what's going to happen, right? Things can be strange, which you anticipate. But the offensive line is the one thing that gives me pause for concern this year.
You think the Vegas Raiders have any interest in Mekhi Becton at all?
No.
None?
Well, I mean, if you were another team, would you?
Would I?
Really? I mean, would you?
Well, I mean, these teams all think that they're smarter than everyone else.
That they can fix the player, but the guy's always hurt, and he also feels like he's kind of a headache.
Well, you heard what, I mean, I asked the question because you heard what Robert Saleh said the other day, that it's going to be tough to take Dwayne Brown's left tackle spot.
Which I think is a crazy statement.
I
want to go to battle with a 37-year-old left tackle.
Oh, he's fine if he stays healthy. he stays healthy, yeah. But, I mean, he's not going to just hand the job over to Mekhi Becton.
Okay, but you would figure that Becton is a better player when healthy than Dwayne Brown, no?
Okay, I don't know.
And if not, then what have you done?
I think we know what they've done. We can assume what they've done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We talked about him all morning. A lot of callers, most disagree vehemently with him, but I want to bring him on. We want to bring him on, give him his moments to at least explain his rationale behind this. We welcome him. I'm a big fan. I think Rick is as well. Bill Barnwell covers the NFL so well for us here at ESPN. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, but it could get dicey. Not with me. I don't agree with you, but Rick, I think, has real issues with you and what you had to say. So let me start out with where we're going to go. Walk us through again. I know you said it yesterday on Get Up, but we're kind of so shocked by this. You are of the mindset that the Jets will be in last place this season. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's not like they're going to be a terrible football team. They're not going to win three games or something. But this is a very tough division. I think everyone agrees. The AFC East is a division where, there's four good football teams, four teams you wouldn't be shocked to see make it to the postseason. Now, the Jets have made upgrades, of course, and I don't need to tell anyone. Aaron Rodgers is a major upgrade on Zach Wilson and Mike White and Chris Streveler and Joe Flacco. And, I mean, the quarterbacks they've had over the past couple of years, there's no question there. But this is a team that went 2-9 last year when they played the opposing team's primary quarterback. When they played backups, when they played third stringers, they were 5-1. defense was good against both. I'm not saying defense is bad, but defense was the healthiest in football last season. And I think there is this perception, certainly among Jets fans, and this is not exclusive to Jets fans, something you hear very, very commonly when you hear people talk about teams they're excited about heading into a season. It's okay, everything that went right for us last year is going to go right again this upcoming season, and the stuff that went wrong is going to get fixed because we added this player or that player. And when that happens, red flag goes off in my head, because I know I'm certainly wrong sometimes. Everyone's wrong sometimes. That is usually a sign that people are overconfident, at the very least, about where their team is going to go this upcoming season.
Yeah, but Bill, to say, I mean, to go from being overconfident that your team could potentially win the division and compete for a Super Bowl is a little bit different than going from that to they're going to be last in the AFC East, which means they're not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a disconnect,
I mean, at the end of the day, like, someone has to finish last in this division.
Well, no, I know, but I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I think, here's my biggest problem. I think you're too smart to believe what you're saying. Like, if I got Dan Orlovsky saying that they're the team he would point to in the AFC that could get through Kansas City, I saw you on yesterday with Teddy Bruschi, and he was shocked that you said it, that you could play. I think you're discounting. I mean, you give the record against backup quarterbacks. The Jets were playing with Mike White and Zach Wilson last year. That's not even the equivalent of playing with the backup quarterback.
That's true. No argument from me there, and that's certainly fair to say. But, again, like, you look at this roster, and you say, okay, well, certainly they're better at quarterback, no question. Is the defense going to be better than it was last year? It could be. Not saying it won't be. But typically, defenses that make a big stride in 1 year, historically, not based on the Jets, it's based on history, take a step backwards the following year. Defenses that are the healthiest in football take a step backwards the following year because they don't stay as healthy. We saw in 2021 that Jets defense, which we were so excited about, had so many exciting pieces. Well, Carl Lawson got hurt in camp. They didn't have enough pass rushers. Secondary was a mess before they made the moves they made last season. Was not as good as Robert Saleh would have hoped in year one. I don't think they're going to be a bad defense. They could take a step backwards. Look at the offense. Okay, well, Aaron Rodgers is a major upgrade on those guys you mentioned, no question. But the offensive line, legitimate concerns about who's going to play tackle, whether they're going to play well. We saw Aaron Rodgers struggle last year. And I think the thing I keep coming back to is, yes, they played with those backup quarterbacks last year. It's not like I'm saying the Chiefs are going to finish in last place. It's not like I'm saying the Bills are going to finish in last place. The Jets were in last place last year. It's not. You could disagree. I think it might, wouldn't be shocking if the Jets finished first. Wouldn't be shocking if they finished second or third. But it's not outlandish to say the Jets would finish last in the AFC.
Wow. All right, Bill Barnwell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Now, one thing that, I don't agree with you, but I don't have a major issue like Rick does. The one thing that you said that I had to kind of like re-listen to it. You might have said it like 10 days, 2 weeks ago. Is that you think like Teddy Bridgewater, you bring him in here and like you don't see a tremendous difference between a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's as good as they come, to Teddy Bridgewater?
Of course of course there's a difference. There's no question, but I think you're missing a key part of the equation when it comes to Aaron Rodgers versus a Derek Carr or a Teddy Bridgewater. There's no question Aaron Rodgers is better than those guys, but the cost it takes to get to those guys is different. It's not Aaron Rodgers versus Teddy Bridgewater, Aaron Rodgers versus Derek Carr. Just to go with Teddy Bridgewater, we'll use that one as an example. It's whether I have Aaron Rodgers or Teddy Bridgewater, $50 million a year to spend on players to upgrade your roster. So let's throw in, DeAndre Hopkins and Dalton Schultz and maybe another pass rusher, maybe a tackle, which they obviously, that's a big concern. Maybe they go out and get a Juwan Taylor, the guy who was, on Jaguars last year, who's very good at tackles. He's now going to the Chiefs. Three or four Pro Bowl caliber players to your roster. Plus, you don't move down in the first round this year. You don't miss out on Broderick Jones, who the Jets missed out on, who they wanted at left tackle. Plus, you don't give up a two this year. Plus, you don't give up one next year for a guy who this is a two-year window. This is a two-year window with Aaron Rodgers where he's 39. He's making $54 million a year. And you don't bring in Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers' friends, who, by the way, last year, when one of those guys or both of those guys were on the field, Aaron Rodgers' QBR declined by 25 points. You guys sit there and say, hey, Aaron Rodgers, the ceiling is still so high that it's worth it. I wouldn't say you're wrong necessarily, but I do think that the Jets did not play that negotiation well. And the example I'm bringing up with Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr is it took dramatically less to acquire those guys. Not that they necessarily should have gone for Teddy Bridgewater, they should have gone for Derek Carr, but just when you're the only team negotiating for Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers is the only person coming out and saying, I only want to play for the Jets, that's the team I want to play for next year, when the Packers don't even want to bring Aaron Rodgers back. I don't know how you go into those negotiations and come out with, we're giving up, we're paying him what we're paying him, we're moving down in the first round, we're giving him a second round pick this year, and we're giving the Packers very generous terms. If Rodgers plays more than 11 games, essentially, the Packers are going to get a first round pick from the Jets next year. Is Aaron Rodgers better than Teddy Bridgewater? Of course he is. There's no question. Is he better than Derek Carr? Of course he is. But remember, the Jets told Derek Carr he could be a Hall of Famer if he came to play in New York. I think there's a disconnect there between, you know, how they perceive things, maybe, with a guy who, frankly, I mean, you guys saw Aaron Rodgers last year. He was injured. He had a thumb injury, but he's in his late 30s. He did not play well last year. This isn't the MVP Aaron Rodgers of 2 years ago. I hope he plays better in New York, but can we say for sure that will happen? It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but Bill, I mean, none of what you just said has anything to do with predicting they were going to finish last. Like, the compensation, we can agree with you. We thought he gave up a lot, but we also understand. We also understand, though. I mean, signing Teddy Bridgewater, it just, I mean, as a franchise, is not doing the same thing that signing Aaron Rodgers is doing. Like, you're not instantly selling more season tickets and everything else by bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. Sure. And oh, by the way, the things that you just named, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead. I saw what Teddy Bridgewater looked with all the pieces that you mentioned we could bring in. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
He got hurt.
It doesn't matter. Teddy Bridgewater, Bill. Bill, you could give me $75 million and talk about the pieces that I could have brought in. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater, with the pieces you mentioned, is not giving me a chance to go against Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes and win.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say he had a bad year. You're right. Aaron Rodgers does not have a great year. He still threw for 26 touchdowns, which is three less than the amount of touchdowns the Jets had as a team last season, which was 29.
I mean, again, there's no question. Aaron Rodgers is a major upgrade on what they had last year. But, again, all those pieces you mentioned, I have seen Teddy Bridgewater go and win games with the Saints. I have seen him go in games with the Vikings when he had good pieces around him. And, again, I'm not saying just checking out and got Teddy Bridgewater, but I am saying, this is a separate conversation from them finishing last. I wrote about that 2 weeks ago, as opposed to the conversation we had about the Jets finishing last, which was yesterday. Just, they mismanaged those negotiations. They mismanaged the Rodgers situation. And in doing so, in going to build around Aaron Rodgers, number one, they made it. They paid so much that this has to be a Super Bowl or bust situation for the Jets right now. They're not going to be in a situation where they can go out and add someone next year. They're not going to be in a situation where they can go out and add a player who's going to be a significant contributor for them, a quarterback, for the next 5-6 years. They have a 2-year window to win a Super Bowl right now. And in the process, what I am saying is that giving up so much when they were bidding against themselves, I think they compromised their chances of winning a Super Bowl. Can they go and win against Josh Allen? Absolutely. It's not out of the question. They did that last year. I mean, they beat the Bills last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback. So we know it's possible, but is it something where they're going to have the depth, the roster around them? That I'm very concerned about.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the offensive line is there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Listen. You make great points, and this is why we wanted to have you on, because you're smart, you do all the homework and everything else. But they also played the Patriots in two games, and if they had a half decent quarterback, they should have won too. I just don't understand. I mean,
I agree.
Can believe what you're saying, but what about the Patriots screams to you that they're going to be better than the Jets?
Well,
that the Patriots are going to be the third team in the AFC East.
Well, okay, so let's say we both agree the Patriots have a good defense, correct?
I don't know if they're better than the Jets on defense.
I don't know if they're worse than the defense. But certainly, they're going to be good on defense. Both teams are good on defense. I think we can agree there. Patriots have a better offensive line than the Jets. Jets have better receivers, especially Garrett Wilson, than the Patriots do. Brees Hall obviously plays a big role. Ramondre Stevenson, the get-back quarterback situation, of course Aaron Rodgers is going to be better than Mac Jones. But remember, just like the Jets had incompetent person playing quarterback, you look at what the Patriots had in their coaching staff last year, they didn't have a functional offense. They didn't have a functional offense because they had two guys who weren't coaching offense, coaching that side of the football. And, of course, I think Aaron Rodgers is a bigger upgrade on Zach Wilson than Bill O'Brien is on Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. But I also think that's a really, really significant upgrade. So to me, I kind of put them in the same tier. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if I'm saying the Jets are going to be in last place. The Patriots are 9-8, the Jets are 8-9. Maybe that's because I have a lot of faith in Bill Belichick as a coach, as opposed to Robert Saleh, who I think is a good coach, but does not exactly have Bill Belichick's resume. But I do think that they're both going to make strides on offense this year, and I have more faith in the Patriots' defense staying what they are because they've been more consistent over the past few years than I do the Jets' defense.
All right. Listen, Bill, unfortunately, and I really mean this, we have to go because we're up against it, and we have a contest and all sorts of stuff to still do. But I would like to extend an offer for you to join us again very soon because we got to continue with the Jets, go around the NFL, and I gotta go after you with the Giants because you think the Giants are going to take a big step back, and I do not agree with that whatsoever. So let's do this again real soon, assuming you'll come on with us again, that is, of course.
Oh, of course. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys. You guys have been very reasonable. I've heard worse, certainly, from Jets and Giants fans over the past couple of weeks on social media, but certainly I get stuff wrong all the time. Hope you understand where I'm coming from.
We do. We like you, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.